200 miles off the coast of Alaska, there's an island. It's called St. Paul Island, and it's about the size of Disney World. There are no trees there. It's more like a tundra with just kind of a few cliffs. You can see the ocean from just about every point. About 400 people live on St. Paul. It's a small fishing community, mostly made up of members of the Aleut tribe. There's one K-12 school. There are no restaurants, but there is a tavern where local bands will play on the weekends and people will dance until early in the morning. It's this small, tightly knit community just floating in the middle of the Bering Sea. But last summer, an unwelcome visitor showed up on St. Paul Island. It was a June day. Two people were sitting outside their apartment when they saw the visitor from afar, scurrying underneath a staircase. A rat. So if you live in a city or pretty much anywhere in the mainland US, this might be a common sight for you, possibly even a daily occurrence. But on St. Paul, seeing one single rat isn't just uncommon. It's an island-wide emergency. I'm Johanna Mayer, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, we head to St. Paul to join a rat strike team fighting to save their little island from, oh, you know, just total ecological collapse. After this.
Autograph Collection Hotels offers over 300 independent hotels around the world, each exactly like nothing else. Hand-selected for their inherent craft, each hotel tells its own unique story through distinctive design and immersive experiences, from medieval falconry to volcanic wine tasting. Autograph Collection is part of the Marriott Bonvoy portfolio of over 30 hotel brands around the world. Find the unforgettable at autographcollection.com.
Everyone knows that the best way to tell a good story is over a good drink. Spirit in a Bottle, tells and drinks from Tito's handmade vodka, brings them together. In its first ever cocktail book, Tito's offers fans recipes, mixology tips, and a never-before-seen look at its journey from a one-room distillery to becoming America's favorite vodka. Order your copy today at titosvodka.com/book. Read it and sip with Tito's. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Okay, here is an unpopular opinion. I kind of like rats. I'm nervous to share this opinion publicly because I know a lot of people are very grossed out by them, but I think they are cute. I think they are resourceful. They're tenacious, they're hardworking. Anytime I see a rat pulling a piece of food out of a trash can or scampering across a subway track right before the train comes, I find myself kind of rooting for it. But on St. Paul Island, different story. A single rat can have disastrous consequences.
There's no native rat population on the island, so the difference between one rat on St. Paul and dozens or hundreds of rats in a dumpster in New York City is pretty seismic.
Daniel Wu is a reporter for the Washington Post. He's been following the story pretty closely. It's not the first time an unwanted visitor has shown up on St. Paul. A black widow once arrived on a grocery pallet. A red fox floated up to the island's shores on a big chunk of ice. And as for this rat, it probably stowed away on a ship. And the reason a single rat can be so devastating for St. Paul is birds.
It's renowned as a birdwatcher's paradise, flocks of seabirds and rocks teeming with fur seals, just kind of a really unspoiled, remote, wild environment.
St. Paul has been called the Galapagos of the North, It's packed with these gorgeous, rare seabirds. There are murres, auklets, cormorants, those adorable puffins with big orange beaks. In the late spring, the bird population on this tiny island swells to around 200,000. Rare birds from Asia make stopovers there. Like, St. Paul's the first place in North America where someone spotted a Pallas's rosefinch, a tiny bird that's this shocking shade of pink. Usually lives in China, Korea, and Russia. And this single rat that a couple people saw crawling under a staircase, it could destroy all of this. Remember, there are no trees on St. Paul. It's flat, almost like a tundra, which means these birds have to find somewhere else to build their nests.
They nest on the ground, on cliffs, in little burrows. And that's part of what makes them really vulnerable to a possible infestation like one of rats.
This rat can feast on chicks and eggs. It might be carrying a disease. And because these birds are used to living in a totally sequestered island without a native rat population, they don't have the instincts to evade or escape it. The rat's going to win. Easy. And it goes beyond birds, too. If this rat takes out the seabirds, seabirds will stop carrying in nutrients from the ocean. Without the nutrients on the ocean, other wildlife on the island will suffer. It's this whole domino effect. Okay, I would like to pause here for a second to consider the rat in question. This little guy had no idea what he was getting himself into. Probably just wandered onto some ship in search of a barrel of grain or something. And then suddenly, he finds himself halfway across the earth, far from the trash cans and alleyways that he knows and loves. In a way, I sort of feel for the rat. He didn't ask for this. But whether the rat asked for it or not, he's there. And the people of St. Paul are right to be nervous, because they've seen rat infestations happen elsewhere, with pretty tragic consequences.
The Aleutian Islands, which are south of St. Paul, four of them, which are uninhabited by humans, but also, as you can imagine, have a big teeming seabird population. They were infested with rats that they believe first came ashore in the Second World War when military ships came to the islands. Some of those islands have had rat populations take hold, and that's just decimated the seabird population there.
The rat situation in the Aleutian Islands is so far gone that 70 years later, they are still dealing with this infestation. St. Paul desperately does not want to end up like the Aleutians. So, how do you catch a single sneaky rat on an island the size of Disney World?
People are saying, you know, put traps, put cameras around our homes, we'll check them for you. There are folks in the fisheries who are suggesting, can we bait it out with the smells of the fish we process? They're blasting the word out on social media. The whole community on the island is really invested in the idea of rat prevention. I think it's something they're taught in school. It's something that everyone knows to report as soon as there's even a possible whiff or a sight of a rat.
And then there's something called a rat strike team. It's kind of a joke that they call themselves that, but really not entirely. There is someone on the team whose official title is Island Invasive Species Strike Team Biologist. It's basically a dream team made up of local officials and a few federal agencies that step in to help with invasive species. And the rat strike team, they're pulling out the big guns.
Peanut butter and marshmallow fluff.
All right, it sounds funny, but this actually is a genuinely effective method. Turns out rats everywhere cannot resist peanut butter and marshmallow fluff. The rat strike team sets up traps baited with it. And once again, I'm thinking about the rat. Like, consider all of this from his perspective. He accidentally finds himself on a faraway island, gets there, tries to adjust, thinks he's landed in a world of paradise filled with peanut butter and marshmallow fluff. But then there's this entire rat strike team specifically designed to kill him. Bad luck for the rat. Anyway, once the strike team narrows down the rat's exact location, they'll spread poison.
They've covered this island in field cameras that are activated by tripwires or motion or whatnot, and blocks that are supposed to show the bite marks from a rat if they bite on them. And other than that, it's just a waiting game, waiting to see this rat hopefully pop up on one of those cameras and to see if that needle in a haystack can emerge.
I'm picturing like a full-blown Situation Room, like the famous picture of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton during the Bin Laden raid, except they're all looking at a field cam of a rat.
I don't think they have the resources to check 24/7, I'm told. I should have asked for just exactly what the Situation Room looks like, but the officials I've spoken to, they're not panicking right now.
And they actually have some ideas. One option is to bring in a dog to help track and hunt down the rat. But it's tricky. Dogs are currently banned on the island to protect the fur seals that live there. And you know, if the dog escaped, they'd have to bring in a goat to catch the dog. And then a cow to catch the goat. Then a horse to catch the cow. And then an elephant to catch the horse. Just kidding. But the whole thing really could spiral out of control. Lots of things to balance in this complicated ecosystem.
They're definitely concerned, but they know this could be a waiting game.
And St. Paul is no stranger to waiting. Back in 2018, a different rat made its way onto the island, and it took a full year to catch it. A full year of peanut butter and marshmallow fluff and anxiety and Situation Room-like field cam surveillance.
They killed it with poison in a warehouse in St. Paul. There's a photo of one of the officials posing with it like some big game trophy.
In all likelihood, our rat will meet the same fate. And look, for all my love of rats, I know that it is for the best. And I wish the strike team luck. But still, you have to be a little impressed with our anti-hero. He's holding his own against an entire island. It's 400 people and maybe soon one dog against one little rat. And somehow, he's making it seem like a fair fight. Respect. If you want to learn more about St. Paul and the rat strike team, check out Daniel's reporting. We'll put a link in our episode description. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The people who make our show include Dylan Thuris, Doug Baldinger, Chris Naka, Camille Stanley, Manola Morales, Baudelaire, Gabby Gladney, Amanda McGowan, Alexa Lim, Casey Holford, and Luz Fleming. If you like our show, please give us a good review and rating wherever you get your podcasts, and also make sure to follow us so you never miss an episode. I'm Johanna Mayer, officially on the record as a defender of rats. I'll see you next time.
Nice ride.
It's Toyota's all-electric SUV, the BZ4X.
You're saying this thing runs on just electricity?
I mean, it's called all-electric.
I thought it's called the BZ4X.
It is, and it's all-electric.
The all-electric Toyota BZ4X.
The Tito's handmade vodka was ice-cold, condensation trickling down the copper metal shaker. It's gotta be fresh lime, they drawled. Tart, but balanced. They weren't normally this finicky about cocktail hour, but with Tito's, it had to be perfect. Simple syrup, the final ingredient. The sound of shaking filled the room to the brim. For the perfect pour at next week's book club, try the Tito's Gim Literature. Find the recipe at titosvodka.com. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.